Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, everybody, to the Council of Elders Call-In Talk Show. My name is Jansen Brooks, and today is December 4th, 2020. My, oh my, how fast the year has gone. We have an interesting guest on the show today, Mr. Michael Butler from Southern California. Michael is right now working his way back into the mainstream. He was released from prison in 2017. Like I say, he's now working his way back into the mainstream, and I might say he's doing real well. So just a little bit of background about the Council of Elders. It's a concept where elders in the community try to help younger people navigate through life and avoid some of the pitfalls that everyone can go through, and also the elders learning from younger folks, because they have a lot to offer. So with that, let me introduce our guest today, Michael Butler. Michael, welcome to the Council of Elders Call-In Talk Show.
Good morning, Mr. Brooks. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure,
Definitely.
Let me just say to our audience that Michael is in the desert in Southern California, in the Yucca Valley area, and we might have some reception, so bear with us if that happens. I'm sorry, Michael. Go ahead.
It's all right. But, yeah, thank you for having me again. Blessings. Good morning to all who's here listening. You know, I appreciate the opportunity. You know, and as Brother Brooks was saying, I did have a nice little stint in the prison system. You know, I found myself caught up as a youngster, age 25. You know, got into a robbery situation. You know, I felt like I had to teach someone a lesson, so to speak. And it went bad, or it went good, because, you know, I learned a lot from the situation, and it ended up being that I meet brothers along the lines of Brooks, along the lines of Carl Robinson, mentors, you know, who have a heart towards taking care of the young men who's lacking in that area. So I definitely appreciate this opportunity. Definitely.
Right, right, Michael. And you just turned 44 recently, I believe, right?
Yes, sir, in June.
Oh, okay, okay. You know, it's interesting. I'm 68 years old right now, but, you know, when I turn 40, like go from 39 to 40, you know, It seemed like life just seemed like it was different. It's like I said to myself, I am grown now, for real, you know?
Yes. Yes.
So
all the way grown.
So, you know, you start looking at things a little bit different, you know. It's like, I got to shape up here, you know. How was that for you?
Yes. Well, for me, it was a thing about coming into those full 10 toes solid on the ground, knowing who I am, choosing me, choosing the direction I want to go in life, and then knowing that I can have that. That's what it ended up being. The 30s, you know, the whole time was in prison, but I knew that I would have some 40s back out here on this side of it in society. So it was a thing about knowing that I have to have some establishment. It was a culmination of a balance, all the elements coming together. You know, that four, when you're dealing with the four, it's a thing about balance and solidity, you know, a manifestation of something right now that you can feel and see, tangible. You know, so that's what it ended up being. I hit 40, and I knew that it would be real. It's just a matter of time for me to be able to go on and start seeing the things that I've been putting my mind towards.
Right, right, right. Now, while you did a stint in prison, I understand you did have some well, let's just go back a little bit before we get there. You grew up in what area of Southern California, Linwood?
I was in Los Angeles. Yeah, Los Angeles. I was born in Linwood, but I grew up in Compton Watts, South Central area. I had a foster home run for a few years that took me out towards Ontario, Pomona, but it kept me in pretty much the Los Angeles County. So that's where, you know, I did my growing up and running around at.
Right, 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 right. And Michael, unless anybody's been buried up under a rock, they know that that area is a tough area. You know, Compton, Watts, straight out of Compton. You know.
Yeah. It's definitely so, interesting. It's gonna teach you a few things if you're able to make it through.
What did it teach you, Michael?
Yeah, you better know how to duck when it's time. That's one. No, but you know what? We come up sometimes. We could be victims of circumstance if we allow ourselves to be. You know, it's hard to say that you always get what you have coming, especially to somebody who feels like they've been treated unfairly in life. You know, but for the person who takes responsibility for where they stand, you know, everything that you deal with has a lesson behind it, and it has some growth potential behind it. Every seed is everything that it can be. As long as it's in the environment that it needs to be nurtured, it's going to come to that potential. So, you know, for me, my prison stint was the environment I needed to be able to have my mind cleared and then developed to the point to where I can actually think and not just be a victim of whatever vibe is going on around me. I didn't want to get caught up in the trends, you know, of clothing and then the fashion and this and that and chasing this. Like, all of that stuff is distraction, especially for a grown man. You know, if we're not responsible with our thinking, then everything under us and around us and that we're responsible for, it's all haywire. It's all out of whack because we're not in our leadership role properly. You know, so I've been learning that. And being secluded and did to my own mind, you know, it was a tough journey, you know, because you can't lie to yourself. You know, you definitely cannot. Your conscience won't let you get away with it. You know, so having a really answer to yourself, that's what those halls are about, you know, in my comedic studies, that hall of truth. You know, when you see the balanced scale and that feather with that heart on it, it's about being truthful with yourself. You have to have a conscience as light as a feather in order to be able to pass through that judgment properly. And if you have anything weighing on your conscience that isn't allowing you to move forward, then by all means you need to go and deal with that karmically, because if not, it's going to continue to be a lesson that presents itself to you until you properly handle it. So that's what I've been learning. That's what I've been learning along this journey. It's been a beautiful journey.
Mm-hmm.
Tough. But beautiful.
Right, right. Well, we'll talk about a little bit about your spirituality now. You sort of follow the
comedic spirituality. It's called Niterianism.
Okay. And
yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit about it. You know, a lot about it. Have heard of it. Maybe give us a little bit of highlights. It's Egyptian,
well,
right?
Yes, well, it has to do with Kemet, ancient Kemet. It was given the name Egypt later on down the lines, but it's something that everyone can recognize just dealing with the Ankh. You know, the circular cross, you know, that's the handle. That right there, universal symbol of life. The male and female coming together, representing an eternal manifestation of the God. Being in tune and in touch with nature and respecting it and reverencing it as part of yourself. Each person being part and parcel of the creative process of the universe and able to be their own creator with their own process of life. And then so on and so forth along those lines. Taking responsibility for your growth and your spirituality. This is what it represents and what it stands for as far as my understanding of my system. And then it's symbolic tools that have been used throughout the centuries to help people along with the development. So when you see the different symbols, you'll see something like a beetle. Well, the beetle represents creative growth. So you'll see the beetle in the morning, and that represents the rising of the sun. And then you'll see the sun sitting at its height, and then you'll see the older eagle at the end in his maturity. And those represent the coming in of the day, having a fresh energy, just like spring, beautiful, ready, life-bringing vibes. And then the height of the day at noon, you know, where everything is at its top and you're moving. And then in the end, everything comes to its maturity. You're going back over your day. You're going back over your processes, your life. And then it's a rest period. We learn how to get in tune with the systems and the seasons that nature has already put in order. And then as we learn how to get in tune with that, then we learn to follow our path of growth and knowledge of self. That's what my system represents.
Oh, okay, okay. And I believe we talked about a book that anyone is interested, Materialism, I think it was the name of it.
Yes. It was the book was it's called The Metu Netzer.
Okay, Metunether.
Yes, sir. Two words. Metu Netzer.
Okay. Okay, The Metu Netzer. Okay. Well,
yes, sir.
Michael, what are you doing right now? I understand you doing some driving for Grubhub.
Yes, I drive for Uber Eats, DoorDash, and Instacart, you know, and I'm using that to generate some revenue to put towards insurance for my trucking company. I have a young trucking company called Mainline Logistics, you know, and that right there will be the thing that catapults, you know, the rest of the process that I have going. You know, initially, one of your other guests and one of your brethren, Brother Robinson, you know, we started off incubating a young nonprofit organization. He was able to capitalize on the ideas that we were coming up with and that we were brought, and he developed his own process and brought something beautiful to it. Mine took another turn, and I focused my energy more along the manual labor side of getting it in, and it turned into more money than I thought. You know, definitely that, you know. So I have to find out how to scrape up some money to get this insurance going so I won't lose out on what I've already invested, you know. So it turns into credit repair services. It turns into passing out the free phone services through the lifelines of Obama phones. It turns into Grubhub, Uber Eats, DoorDash, Instacart, and whatever else we could do to make it happen.
Right, right. So you're saving up money right now to get the insurance to start your trucking company, actually get it off the ground.
Yes, sir.
To actually start driving. You got it off the ground, but...
To actually start driving. To actually start driving and taking on contracts, yes.
Right. You know, it's interesting. As a couple of guys on YouTube, you may have seen them. It's called Earn Your Leisure. I don't know if you saw those two brothers.
I'm not familiar with that one.
But Earn Your Leisure, yeah, they have a regular YouTube channel, and they started out on YouTube, and now they own a trucking company. It's interesting, and I think they even branching out into other things. But when you get a chance on YouTube, you can look at it. It's called Earn Your Leisure, and it's two brothers. I think they're out of the New York City area.
Okay.
I don't know if they live there now, but it's they highlight entrepreneurs, but they themselves now have a trucking company. So that's a very busy industry. Now you're down in the Yucca Valley area.
Yucca Valley,
California.
Yeah, out by Palm Springs, Palm Desert area.
Okay, when I hear about Palm Springs and that area, I think about Frank Sinatra and all those big entertainers. They have places out there.
Yeah, Bob Hope and the Name of the Streets. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not over there. You know, that'd be nice, but definitely not over there. Working my way to it, though, you know. I guess if you can see it, you can have it. That's one of the secrets. If you can see yourself with it, you can have it. So I need to go over there and start looking
right
at some houses.
Well, are you doing any deliveries over there?
You know what? I have occasionally, but normally I stay closer to the house. I don't normally go all the way down. That's about a 30-minute ride from where I actually live in Yucca Valley. But sometimes I do, and the money is good. It is good down there.
All right. Hey, let me just let everybody know that you're listening to the Council of Elders Call-In Talk Show. Our guest today is Mr. Michael Butler, and Michael's talking about his background growing up in Southern California, his life in prison and his life after prison, and about his future plans. So, Michael, what's actually on your mind today, man?
You know what? On some full disclosure, just trying to figure it out, man. You know, when I got out, I thought I had it all together. You know, after all of those years, just like I said, being in my own head, I really thought I had it all together. And it turned out to be mostly in theory, or all in theory, actually, you know, until I actually start walking and being amongst these different situations that I picture myself in, these different scenarios. So when I start seeing that I wanted this for my life, you know, this type of house, this type of relationship, and I started being presented with the opportunities to make it happen, before I recognized it as my own process, it was shocking. It almost seemed as if it was too much. But then it's like, you ask for this. You know, you have to be careful what you ask for, because you definitely will get it. And it might not always be at the most opportune time that you think, but you did ask for it. So I've been figuring out that I have to pay attention to what I actually want, and then, again, go back through those processes of setting things in order now. So I was going through it this morning. You know, as I was driving, I was actually going through it this morning, you know, looking at these houses, beautiful houses. And I drive these highways mostly at night, so I don't really get to see what's actually in these hills. But this morning I got out early, and I'm looking at these houses, the colors of the hills blended in nicely, you know, beautiful yards, stretched out, spacious. And I'm wondering what it's like to be able to live like that just comfortably. No worries when it comes to finance. No hassle. Now, I know that, you know, more money, more problems. You know, I understand that. But these are levels of gradual evolution that these people have been through to be able to live at that status of life. You know, everything is in stages. So the level that I'm at right now, it seems as if I'm fast-forwarding as long as I can handle the pressure. The G forces. Put on your equipment, your helmet, and let's go. Because you wanted this, and I can get you to where you're trying to get to, but you got to be able to keep up. As soon as you start lagging, then that's when things start to shaking and rattling and get to breaking off if you don't keep up with it. So I was struggling with that, like wondering if I'm even on the right path, you know, because I try a lot of different things and I put energy into different things, but, you know, it seems as if, like a butterfly moving from flower to flower, I hadn't spent enough time focusing on any one thing and giving it enough energy to automate itself and become something that can carry itself before I leave it alone, you know? So it was that with relationships, businesses, you know, finances, friends, family. I'm thinking about all of this stuff. And having been by myself for so long, I struggle with making room for other people in my life the way they need me to. You know, I want to help people, but I'm helping them the way I think they need help instead of the way they're asking me to help them. And the way they're asking me to help them may seem obsolete or, you know, insignificant in my mind, like that's not what you really need. I'm looking from the outside in, and you really need this. So I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to let you be mad at me for however long until you figure out this is what you actually really need. And whether you come back and say, you know what, I get it, or not, it doesn't matter because I knew I did the right thing. In the middle of all that, it's always emotions, it's feelings, it's all this other stuff that comes up. And I have to try to keep a clear mind to be able to see the prize at the end. And, you know, life always makes that a struggle. All the variety, all of the choices we have to make, all of that, it always makes it a struggle. And that's why the ancients called all of these things illusions. They said none of it is real because the pursuit of all of these things in the guise of happiness, as soon as you get it, you're going to want more. It's never enough. It's always more, more, more. And that's where gluttony comes in, greed, lust, envy. And then it turns into anger, hatred, so on and so forth. You know the progression. You know, it's
right.
the separation from these sensual things and from these desires is the thing that they always sought after. So you have the ancients, the monks, you know, they sit in beautiful secluded places and they pray and they restrict themselves to what they need as far as physically to live, but their journey is about connecting with that which is spiritual, because they know that this is fleeting. Spirit is eternal. And the progress that you make spiritually each time you incarnate is going to be the thing that you carry on into the next. And then when you awaken in that next and you start that progress again, then you pick up from there and you add layers to it. And you continue to grow in progress according to the ancient teachings. You know, so with that right there, I was able to find my path in that, and I have to stay focused on that. And so today that was my struggle. You know, I was going through it this morning. I was definitely struggling with that. But, you know, being able to know that there's always a beacon letting me know that I'm on the right path, brothers like you coming along, Carl, he just popped up out of nowhere on some, you want to be on a radio talk show? I was like, H-E-double-L, yes. Let's go, you know, on some no prep time. And then a little while later, you called me. And we had the organic conversation that we had. And here we are again, our second, third, because the brief one this morning. And you know what? This lets me know that I'm on the right path. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Whatever comes from this, whatever exposure, whatever it is that comes from this, I know that it's meant because it's happening. And that's what it is. So,
right.
You know, I feel good about where I'm at right now. I definitely do. You know, I know that it gets better.
Right.
It definitely does. So,
well, we appreciate you coming on the
great.
Show, Michael, and being transparent your feelings there. I see we have a caller 4600 that pressed the number one. Let me call him 4600. State your name. Calling from?
It's Pianchi. How you doing?
Hi, Pianchi. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
No, your guest, from listening to his story, he should continue to have a level head and push forward.
I definitely appreciate that.
Know what it is that you want to do, and don't be distracted. Don't go for the run-of-the-mill excuses that other people use, especially those that are always talking this victimhood. You go ahead and do what you feel that you're able to do. Now, apparently, the things weren't put in place the way that they should have been with you coming up. And we find that with so many people nowadays. But once you realize that something ain't right, like apparently you have done, then you pursue to make things work the way they should work. And don't give
Absolutely.
Up. Yeah.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, that's one thing that I can say. You know, here's another thing, too. This young man here deserved to have all that is due to him for being a United States citizen. And one thing that messes me up now with these politicians, they're letting all these foreigners come in and giving them all these opportunities. This man here should have received those opportunities. There should be things in place to help him to rehabilitate. As a child, he never woke up in the morning wanting to be a failure. He never woke up in the morning wanting to have to carry burdens undue. But the people that represent him as his place here in this country, they let him down. And we see his further, what's further going on. He should
you know
be
what,
standing
sir?
At the head of the line. Go ahead, young
man. You know
man.
What, sir? If I may comment on that, you know what? I don't really necessarily feel that anyone has failed me, and I don't feel that anyone has left me in a position of burden. I feel that once my path brought me to a position of awakening, then I'm able to appreciate everything that I've been through because it becomes relevant. I know how to use it. I know how to distribute it properly. Without that awakening, it all becomes a blur, and it's just nothing that you're just in the way. But once you realize what your life is about, then you can get to a place where you can use each and every experience, and it's valuable. And the people who were commissioned to ushering you along that path, you start to understand what they were going through. They didn't have it all together either, and they were just doing their best. You know, you learn to appreciate all of that stuff. So I don't take on the mentality of me being deprived of anything. You know, I see it as a toughening, you know, a strengthening, and a honing of skill and an edification process.
Well, you know, I appreciate what you're saying. But yet and still, there's still a government here that you and people in your community elect and have been doing so for a long time. Technically, they are letting the laws be broken. And when you have to, you or anybody else, have to go up against those that's breaking the law who has advantages, then it's just not right. And I see that. And we're trying to make
something
happen to change.
So we have to educate ourselves.
Yeah.
Without knowing the rules of the game, you step in there and you try to play and you just get bounced around, you know?
Yeah, apparently you're doing it. So just keep up the good work and we'll keep you in mind.
So thank you. Blessings to you,
right,
sir.
All right. So, yes. Yeah, I would say, you know, try to stay positive. My brother, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. We all go through, you know, times when we think, wow, you know, what am I doing here, you know? I think anybody would say that. But at the age of 44, you know, one step at a time, I believe that things going to be all right for you. You seem
absolutely
like you got a level in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, now we were talking about, I want to talk a little bit about your idea for your trucking company, though. Will you be doing, like, 18-wheelers or box
trucks? That would be the goal. You know, because apparently that's what logistics, when I looked it up after I named the company, it definitely requires that I have a large operation that I'm in control of. So, you know, I inadvertently put that burden on myself, if you would look at it that way, or gave myself that blessing once I figure it out. But I'm studying CDL now, you know, to go on and get my permit and get my commercial driver's license and get that in order. I want to have that done by the first of the year. That way I can go on and say one of these schools, one of these trucking companies, somewhere, some way I know that I'll be able to use that license to push my company forward. You know, that's definitely part of the process.
Okay. Hey, listen, we got a caller 7473. Caller 7473, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Malcolm Hughes calling from outside of Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Malcolm.
Hey, listen, I was, you made a comment. You said you have to be careful for what you ask for. And one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't ask God for more. As I become exposed to more and more things and people around me who are doing great things in this world, I think I should have asked God for more, because he definitely has blessed me with a lot. So I would implore you, young man, to ask God for more, and he'll give it to you. I will also give you two quick comments. One, do you have a mentor in the trucking business? Find somebody who's successful in the trucking business and use them as a mentor. One of my mentors told me if I'm the smartest guy in the room or the richest guy in the room, I'm in the wrong room. I need to get in a room with people who are more knowledgeable than I am, who have had success in what I am pursuing, and that's going to be a good shortcut to achieving success yourself. Those are my comments.
Absolutely. I definitely appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, so I think that's some good advice, Michael. Ask God for more.
Ask for more.
And be sure to have a mentor who is in the field that you want to be in or in, somebody that can give you some tips and save you some time that in the learning curve.
You know what else?
You
might check with the Urban League, because that was the time that they was giving holding those CDL classes for free before you go out and enroll and spend your own money. So check with them.
Okay. Yeah, there's a shorter process. If you just go on and take the test off of one of the apps with the practicing and then just run it at the DMV, you can run into one of these DMVs that'll have a truck available, and you would just pay what it costs to drive that truck for your test without having to go to a school. And that was a process one of my trucking buddies told me, and that's how I was able to speed it up some. So that's for anybody who's listening. If you just go on and take the CDL practice test, they are general knowledge, it's air brakes, and it's pre-inspection, and they are on point. Once you get those tests right, you'll be ready for your permit. And then whoever you know that would give you some pointers in driving, actually, then you can just go to a DMV and use their truck. There's one in Fontana if you're in the Southern California area, and you can use that vehicle there to actually take your test without having to go to a school.
Yeah, and another thing, too, when it comes down for you to meet your financial responsibility as it applies to driving on the roads, you can also have a bond that covers the responsibility rather than doing the insurance route. I have vehicles, and what I've done, I put bonds in what I would pay the insurance on them every month. I put that in a separate account and just kept it. But states do ask for three forms. I know Missouri do. It either asks for a bond, it asks for you to deposit a certificate with the Department of Motor Vehicle, and it also asks for insurance. And most people, not knowing or don't have the capability, they don't know about the bond.
Okay. Well, definitely, that's valuable right there. Thank you for that.
Okay, good. Let's see. We were talking about you told me about a gentleman that you met when you first went to prison. I thought it was kind of a good story. What was his name? Death Wish or something like that?
Yeah, it was a cat named Death Wish. This is my first day really out on the yard. I started out on a 4-yard again in the desert, and it ended up being that, as I'm walking, this dude about 6'4", 6'5", looked like he's about 230, 240, walks up to me. He says, hey, man, you know how this go around here? I say, no, man, not really. He said, well, first off, man, my name's Death Wish. I said, oh, man. Now, mind you, I'm 5'7", 3/4". At the time, I was about 145. So I say, oh, Lord, what I do to have to meet Death Wish first? like this is gonna be a rough ride right here. But Death Wish ended up being the coolest cat, man. You know, he taught me what I needed to know very briefly, concisely. You know, and I start walking. You know, I say I got 19 years. I gotta start walking, man, and start hitting that yard. You know, it definitely turned into a blessing of not having to do as much, but that's how it started.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, did you take any? By the way, Michael, you were released in, what, did I say it right, 2017?
Actually, I got out last year.
Oh, 2019 or 2020?
2020.
Okay.
Yes,
okay. So almost starting from scratch.
Yeah.
I had to try you, man. You out there driving, Uber, Grubhub, and you're keeping yourself busy, saving up your money for your trucking company or your insurance and so forth. Life is good, you know. You know what I mean? You get a second chance.
It is.
They say God.
It is. You know,
in the second chance, and sometimes when you get a second chance, you're almost better off because you're not taking anything for granted, are you?
No, not at all. You definitely learn to appreciate. You know, one of the funny things about being in there is, you know, if anything can be funny about the thought process, I didn't feel like I deserved to be able to just sit around and chill like that. You didn't have to do anything. All you have to do is just be accountable. Move when they come and flash that light on you to count you. Stand in line to get your food when they're ready to give it to you. You know, and everything else along the lines of somebody else doing it for you. There's no responsibility. Your only responsibility was for your growth and your rehabilitative process. And if you didn't take on that, then you got none. You know, you get punished for not conforming to the programs they had around. But none of them really, really contributed to real growth, you know, that was conducive for these dudes to using something when they get out. It was more along the lines of saying, you know what, yeah, you're a good citizen. I'm going to say that. You're a good citizen, good inmate, you know, and as long as you're a good inmate, we don't have to worry about you, you know. Same thing along the lines out here, you know, for me, it's an analogy was given to me about college life. You know, and it was a flea circus. He said, you know, there was a flea circus, and the man put together the whole situation where when he caught the fleas, the way he trained them, he explained to his crowd. He said he caught them, and he would put them in a bucket. And they were wild when he first caught them. And they were jumping around. Once he put the lid on that bucket, they were hitting the top of the bucket. And noticing that they weren't able to jump as high as they used to, so they stopped because they didn't like hitting their head on the ceiling. And then the bucket was shortened. So they get to jumping, thinking that they could at least get to the heights that they reached previously, but no, the ceiling has dropped. So now they're hitting their head again without being able to really move around. And then that happens again, and they drop at another level. So now everybody is walking around. They ain't doing no jumping no more. We can get them to walk in these little wheels and carry this little stuff over here and jump on that. Now we're training them. Same thing with the system. Put you in this box, teach you what you need to know, and then set you free. But the thing about setting you free is you forget that you had this ability. So now when they're able to take the tops off of these buckets and get these fleas to performing, the fleas forgot, man, I can get up out of here if I want to. They don't even act like how they used to because they didn't conform to the system. They didn't find themselves good citizens, good inmates, doing what everybody else is doing, just being a flea and out the way, or being caught up in the rat race. You know, those are the things that I was caught up in in my mentality in prison, and I had to fight against seeing everything that way. But when that analogy was brought to me, it woke me up on something. You know, it made me see that there's nothing wrong with having a system in place to bring about the things that you want. You know, when you see the system working a certain way and certain people saying that it's broken, it's definitely not. The system is working the way it was supposed to because it was designed to work this way. And for the ones who are broken by it, we have a process that we have to go through. And it could be karmic, you know, if you accept it as that way. Or if you take the victim mentality, it's just, you know, them against us type stuff, you know. I try not
right,
to take the
right.
victim mentality.
Right.
Mikey, I have a question.
Yeah. All
you
right.
are aspiring to have a trucking company. Why aren't you working in the trucking industry? Why aren't you employed with a trucking company so you can learn the industry from the inside out? And maybe
well,
I missed something
I came
early.
In as a box trucker. I came in box trucking. So I was driving a box mm-hmm. truck for about a year, real close to a year. And the money coming from that, from the companies I was under, was just enough to be able to pay for some gas to get to work the next day. You know, it wasn't mm-hmm. right. You know, so I seen an opportunity there. I have another buddy who allowed me direct access to his load board because of his company having contracts with Amazon. So with me being an employee, mm-hmm. I was able to employ myself with work without having a truck. That became a problem because I had to rent vehicles. So having to rent these trucks at $200 and $300 a day and getting loads canceled, that started hitting my pocket. So I had to have a bigger overhead fund to be able to cover this. Let's say if I put $2,000 down to rent a truck for a week, then I can say maybe afford 2 or 3 days dead. But them other 4 or 5 days, I have to have work to be able to cover that week and then make a profit. And it's able to be done as long as I can put down the $2,000 that I need. And that was a problem that I'm having. I don't have the money to put down with everything else that I need to take care of.
Have you thought about taking on
a partner? A partner, yes, I have. But, again, with that, you know, having the necessary overhead that we need, it's not there. You know, my buddy, he had to take on a job, and he was already in the trucking company. He runs a company, take on a job, and he went to a school to get his CDL. So I started off saying I was a box trucker, but I want to go on and get my CDL because that's where the money actually comes from. A week with a tractor will cover almost a month with a box truck, you know, and that right there is like a big turnaround. So me driving a tractor, I could fund somebody else to drive a box truck for me and keep my company running while I bring in revenue the other way with me actually driving a truck.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you own a box truck right now?
I do not.
Okay. All right.
Oh, okay.
So it's a long process.
I understand. I was trying to find a solution for you, my brother.
I appreciate you. Definitely I do. And that's the importance of stuff like this, mentors. You know, this is my first time being 44. But somebody else got there before me, you know. Somebody else definitely got there before me. So if I can open the ear to something somebody got to say, I might be able to win a little bit. That's where I'm at.
Your first time being 44, that's a show of Michael. Well, you're a good man, Tony. You haven't got it all figured out, so that's good.
Not quite. I'm working on it, though.
Now, how are you doing with that United Credit education thing?
You know what? Oh, man, excuse me for laughing, but all right. So it's a beautiful wonderful program, right? But because of my situation, my bill is due today, and I noticed that it got rejected. So I need to pay my bill on my $88 a month. I need this program. I just got a 30-point credit increase today. Yesterday I had a 29-point credit increase. Anybody who's been watching my Instagram or Facebook pages have been seeing that I've been posting up what's been going on. This came from the United Credit Education Services Protection Plan. What it did was it set me a course of action, and we sent out dispute letters to clean up any obsolete, anything that was unverifiable or anything that was old on my account that needed to be cleaned up on the credit reports. All of that started mounting into credit increases on these points. You know, so over the past month, I think it's been about a 70-point increase. I can't say where I started nor where I'm at right now, but it's definitely been a verifiable 70-point increase coming from the part of the program that I'm on. And I took on the agent route. The agent route costed me $300 to get in, $299. That included my first month of the protection plan. And with that plan, you have a whole bunch of stuff like will and trust, Rocket Lawyer. You have a credit monitoring, an identity theft monitoring. You have your credit score where you lay out an actual plan on how to increase and how to distribute everything. It's a real good plan, not to mention Credit My Rent. If you're a renter and you don't own your property but you have been paying your rent on time, we have a program where that can be credited towards you having an increased credit score. We also have where you have direct access to online doctors for advice. We have discounted prescriptions. We have discounted travel plans, arrangements for vehicles and hotels. And all of this is covered in one monthly fee of $88. It's an initial start of $189. That's $100 activation, but it's an $88 a month. And with five referrals, that's for you free. You get that free if you bring five people. Or if you decide to take the business route, it's $100 per person starting off that you bring on. And once you upgrade, it immediately goes to $160, and it's a constant movement forward. So it's a good program for anybody who has an entrepreneurial mind. But the thing about being an entrepreneur is it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you money, time, energy, effort, blood, sweat, tears, and a little bit of somebody else's investment. So with that right there, it's like not to be taken lightly. My bill is due today. Somebody else just called me about something else, and they want their money too. You know, so it's work to be done, but it's definitely beneficial. I know that once my credit is back to where it was supposed to be, everything is going to be smoothed out. Everything will definitely be smoothed out. United Credit Education Services is a great opportunity for anybody who wants to take on an entrepreneurial mindset, or just get their credit back in order. It's a restoration. Or establish new credit, because we have a credit builder account as well where you use a secure credit card to start a new credit line for yourself. So there's a lot of opportunity in it. It's a lot of opportunity, but you get out of it what you put into it. You have to allow the maturity process. Definitely take some time as well. So it's a good thing. I definitely enjoy what it is.
Right, that's interesting. So you can actually help someone to, for a price, of course, help them to educate themselves as to how to improve their credit and raise their credit score. Then they can go out and get cheaper interest rates when they're buying a house, cars, or anything on credit. So you can help them lower rates.
Absolutely. And, you know, with the higher your credit score, obviously the lower cash you have to put, the lower amount of cash you have to come out your pocket. So, you know, all those that like those J's cost less than what it costs to keep this thing going. You know, I seen a girl trying to get them for three. This costs $299 to start and $88 to keep going. You can pay for those Jordans on credit and just pay them off over time. You know, get your credit right and get you a box of them. And then go on and make your money if that's what you like doing. But it's credit. You know, that's what it is. If not that, you got to have a lot of cash flow, and I don't have it.
Right. Michael, I know you was telling me about a gentleman that you knew in the trucking business, because I mentioned to you, it's something that Pianki would really turn me on to about Nigerians in the United States higher income than actually all other immigrant groups. So tell us a little bit about the gentleman in the trucking business that you were telling me about.
Well, pretty interesting young man. A handful of years younger than myself, maybe even double that. But I'm working for him. Started off working for his mom, who actually was under him. And when I was talking to him about the business, you know, I wanted to learn it from his side of it as opposed to just being an employee. And the conversation got pretty interesting, you know, and it came down to him flat out just telling me, man, look, I'm Nigerian. My hustle is different than yours. And it just stopped me dead in my tracks because I'm looking around. And, you know, at the time I thought I was doing halfway decent. I had a little Nissan, you know, with some nice little feet on it, and it was cool, music and all this stuff, dress, poop. But this dude, when the conversation developed, come to find out, he went from one truck to a fleet. Started with a box truck, but now has a fleet of tractors that I'm looking around at, and he did that in 5 years. So I'm trying to figure out how it is you go from one truck to a fleet of tractors in 5 years, and he just told me, like, man, my hustle is different than yours. You know, and it's like, dang, man, my intentions are good. You know, everything that you know, I hold on to, I know that your intent is the thing that carries it, and whether it's going to be successful or not. So my intentions are good, and I keep running into good people. And I know eventually this stuff is going to work out, but I wonder for a second, like, what do you mean by that? You know, along the lines of, is it that you know something just flat out that I don't know when it comes to hustling? Or is it that you have some type of advantage, you know, that somebody blessed you with because of you coming over here? You know, what is it? Like, where do we find that you just have a hustle that's just better than mine? Because I've been in the street with it almost all my life, really. You know, as a kid, having to hustle for lunch money to, you know, a better pair of kicks to whatever it was just always grind. You know what I'm saying? So how is it that yours is just better than mine? It's just, it has to be that you have been presented with better opportunities and you were able to take advantage of that. You know, so I'm wondering where those come from, because some people seem to be handed opportunities too, you know. And it could be that, along the lines of immigrants coming through here, you know, being blessed with, I forgot what they call it, but they get an allotment once they come over here, and a lot of them build businesses with it. You know, for example, Koreans, they'll build their businesses, and their communities will take turns passing profit around to help the next man get up, you know. I forgot what they call it, but everybody comes together in a pot, and when it's your turn, you get that whole pot. You know,
well, that's called susu. But Nigerians don't get
exactly
no money. Nigerians don't get no money from no government when they come here. That's some people been saying forever. Well, you talking to one, I know.
Okay, well, but, there you go, sir. That answers my question. Yeah. I was just wondering.
They just have a different way. They come from a functional society and functional families. But here's the thing. Africans or anybody that's got dark skin come here to the United States and take advantage of programs that were designed for native black Americans. They weren't designed for others just because they got black skin. And that's where your politicians fail you.
Because
that's
they're
where
not
they fail you. So you got
are.
You got Yeah, you got Nigerians, Ghanaian, and everything else that's taking advantage of using not only the business program, but also scholarships.
What we supposed to be using.
That you supposed to be using. That's what they was meant for.
Yeah, but see, we got this idea about being this race and that ethnicity, so we ain't even connecting with the indigenous part of ourselves. You know, unless you get into Mardi Gras and then you want to go really, really press that history and see where it's coming from and why it's being sustained, we're not even knowing that we're actually natives to over here. So that what this given to the natives that they call Indians, the ones that are.
Yeah,
the ones of us that
Indians
bloodline.
Indians was listed as a sovereign nation in the Constitution. That's a whole different thing. But you had, but Black Americans was labeled a special class with civil rights acts that was, especially the last one in 1964, that made you a special class. And those things, like affirmative action and so on and so on, of course, that don't kind of been deplored. That was meant just for you.
Yeah,
but people, and see, blacks got a habit of that. And when they see somebody whose skin is not lily white or yellow, they think that they cousins and brothers and sisters. That ain't the way it works. Those people are different. You are different. Those perks were meant for you. But your politicians open the door and let everybody come in on it. That's why I was telling you earlier. They don't. They just lousy.
Right.
Until
so
somebody makes that statement.
Voting and getting the right people in there.
Yeah. My grandson was at a scholarship presentation one time where he won a scholarship, and it was, a Nigerian girl. She also competed for that scholarship and won it. But that's not for her. That's because her skin is not white. She's taking advantage of that.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely some get the bank away as learned for today. You know, I did not really know that was just solely established for us. You know, I thought it was just another opportunity amongst the group that we were clumped in as, were they minorities?
Well, yeah. Now, there's a business, a minority business enterprise out of New York that's will guarantee loans to black businesses up to 75% of the loan if you're doing business with a member, like Anheuser-Busch, and hardly ain't nobody a member, so that shouldn't be a problem. Now,
that's
what's been labeled as minority businesses. And once again, everybody's labeled in under that.
Right.
But some of these things, like the United Negro College Fund, that's supposed to be just for native black Americans, those who descended from slavery, not just for anybody that walk in and show up the next day. Anyway, I'm going to continue to listen.
Then I know.
Well, folks,
I definitely
we got another couple
appreciate
minutes.
You, brother.
Got another couple of minutes on the show. Certainly want to thank Michael for coming on the show today. Michael, urge you just keep up the work, keep up the good work, keep your head up, and just know that, you know, count your blessings. You're better off than a lot of people, you know, if you stop and think about it. You got your freedom. You got, you know, the ability to work. You're young still. You may not think so, but relatively speaking, you are.
Well, I think I got like the tip of these dreads might be still young because they started 10 years ago, 10 and a half years. So, yeah, that part is young. No, thank you, sir. I definitely appreciate you. Thank you for this opportunity. God bless you. Blessings to the fam, everybody that's been listening. We appreciate y'all. Continue to move forward.
All right, my brother. Well, we're gonna let you get back to your day. You got some driving to do today?
Yeah, absolutely, definitely do. I stopped to make this happen. Appreciate you.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Michael. And we have to have you on the show again one day, and maybe carry, you know, talk about some of the things that we didn't get a chance to talk about today.
Okay.
All right, everybody.
I look forward to it.
Thank you for tuning in today. Tune in next week. We hope to have, God willing, another exciting educational guest. All right, everybody. Have a nice weekend.